Good afternoon. My name is Valerio, and here, as every Tuesday, replacing Linda's show, Give Em the Boot. By the way, I want to say ciao to Linda. Linda is not in Canada for now, and I'm just replacing her with this nice spot. I call this spot Wild Knot, like a question. Because we want to talk about environmental issues and even resolutions and good sustainable ideas that we can find with nature and in harmony with nature. And because there is a system to work with nature very sustainably and with in positive, not destroying the environment and the ecosystem. In fact, today here at CITR Radio 101.9 FM at UBC Vancouver, I would like to show to you, our dear listeners, an interview with Ryle. Ryle from Richmond, that is going to present a very innovative and a very new idea that is working on. I don't want to tell anything else, and just listen. Let's listen this interview that I did yesterday with Ryle. Good afternoon. This is Valerio from CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Vancouver, Wild Knot Show. And here today with us, I have a big pleasure to have Ryle from Richmond. Hi, Ryle.
Hi, Valerio.
How are you?
I'm very good.
So nice to have you here. Ryle, I know you are working on a very interesting project, like natural project, sustainable project. What it is?
So I'm designing a technical outerwear jacket. I hope it'll be the first offering that can showcase the potential of an amazing, naturally water-resistant material that's local to BC, and as well can showcase the potential of biomimicry as a model for innovation.
Right. Very interesting. I want to that you can tell us to me and our dear listeners today is how did you discover this amazing opportunity that the nature can give us, and how we want do you want like communicate and put this opportunity for the community, how you want to share this with people. And but before of all, please just spend some words about your background, about your life here in Richmond.
Okay, I actually grew up in the area of Richmond called Steveston, which is a small kind of historic fishing village. It was a cannery where the cultures came together and worked together at the mouth of the Fraser River, surrounded by this immense natural beauty. It was just a place full of wonder. As well, as a child, I was really drawn to natural forms. I've always been a creative, artistic person, and trying to develop and kind of unleash this passion I had for creativity and nature would really just move me right to the core. And I tried to understand what that was about. For a while, I put the creative side off because there were quote-unquote serious questions that I wanted to attempt to answer for myself first and hopefully engage on the broader community and societal level. But something was missing, something deeply meaningful was lacking. There was just some sort of void that needed to be filled. And I think after working like in marketing, for example, in politics, teaching, doing research in the social sciences or the liberal arts, I had an opportunity to visit a UNESCO World Heritage Site in Italy, or your homeland. They call it Cinque Terre.
Oh, yes.
The five villages.
Cinque Terre.
Yeah, the last village, Rio Maggiore. There was this lookout, which was amazing. A friend and I, we were trying to reach the top of this kind of mountain, but on the way there we got lost and we stumbled upon this place, and it just took my breath away. Everyone that was there, they were struck dumb by this incredible silence. I can go into more details maybe later,
yeah,
but
go ahead.
Okay.
Maybe what? No. As long as you like to share your
sure, I can share briefly. So Cinque Terre, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's renowned for these centuries, maybe even millennia old agricultural techniques. And I think that lookout, which came as a surprise, kind of synthesized so many of these traditions, just locally, but also on a kind of human scale. It synthesized what I understand is just the heart. There's this anthropology of the heart that I have come to recognize that belongs to us insofar as we're just human beings, right? That's what that place captured for me and for all those people. So there, it was a lookout. There were these vineyards, these terraced vineyards. You could see like modern technology, these railroad tracks, and then these villages, these houses there in the small village. The sun was beating down on the ocean. And there's like this little boy with his grandmother, he was the only one making any sounds. He was coughing the cooing sounds of the doves that were sweeping down. It was amazing. And for some reason, just after the silence, one of the thoughts that struck me was, this is what my life means.
Wow, that's very, very nice experience, very intense.
Yeah.
And
exactly, that's the word, intense.
So if I understand well, like after this experience, you what happened? Like,
okay, after that I came back and I knew something had to change, so I quit my job. And I recognized that I had a knack for marketing, so I continued on with marketing. I was helping to run a kind of political campaign of all things. That experience also reminded me of an experience that I had the year before that, when I had the opportunity to visit another kind of UN World Heritage Site, the Basilica of La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, where I got to see this immense structure that incorporated this thing called biomimicry. I didn't hear about it at the time. I was struck by these forms, but then by the time I got to Italy, for example, I started to do more research into biomimicry. So to fast track, I'm back in Vancouver after Italy. And I had also been working or volunteering with a social enterprise and just researching about ways to help social enterprises here. I got in touch with a Marketplace Institute and the director of the social incubator program of this Marketplace Institute. I was intrigued how he was incorporating design, what's called design thinking, with social enterprise. And so I met with him, and it was an amazing experience. And I'll never forget, he asked me one question in particular that took what I'm doing now further, or was a pivotal step in helping me to just follow through with my passion. He asked the question, it was very helpful for me. He asked the question, what is your deepest passion and what is the world's greatest need?
Right. Let's listen this Lost in the Light by Bahamas that you brought for us today. Thank you. Why did you choose this song? There is a particular reason, or just?
The sound of it is beautiful.
I'm lost in the light. I pray for the night. Take me to take you to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. It was my greatest thrill. We just stood still. You let me hold your hand till I had my fill. Even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. So if someone could help me now, they'd help you too. Help you to see you through all the hard things we've all gotta do. 'Cause this life is long, and so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free. Said some awful things and I take them back. If we would try again, I just remember when, before we were lovers, I swear we were friends. So if someone could see me now, let them see you.
Very nice song, Ryal. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Valeria.
This is Bahamas with Lost in the Light. So we can back to our interview. Very, very nice that you are share today with us here. And so, at the beginning of our interview, we were talking about this nice natural project. I would like to understand more about this and why we can describe this project like natural and environmental sustainable. You know what I mean? Kind of. Well, I mean, like, so good. Maybe in Italian I could explain better, but you don't speak Italian, right?
Poco.
Poco.
Well, simply. Yeah.
Okay, I try to ask you in Italian.
Okay.
Dove trovi la caratteristica ambientale o la caratteristica, diciamo, naturale di questo progetto?
Capisci?
you can explain in English.
Yes, I'll explain. That's an excellent question. I think for me, I mentioned this an anthropology. I think this phrase that I heard, actually it was an Italian book that helped me to delve into this deeper. It was
really
the it was an Italian anthology of these talks and speeches. It really piqued my interest, and the Italian title was an Ecologia di Uomo or something.
Oh,
ecology?
Ecologia.
It's testi di, an anthology of an ecology of the human.
Well, if you remember some, like if you remember the name of the
right.
writer or the title, we can Google now and we can
find
out.
The important thing is. It's not important.
Okay.
The phrase is important.
Yes.
An ecology of the human.
Yes.
And so what does that mean? Because there has been a wonderful kind of impetus that has come out of Vancouver with sustainability and environmentalism. Greenpeace, for example, which has come out of Vancouver of all places. So there is definitely a social consciousness. There is an environmental conscientiousness here. But for me, this notion of an ecology of the human brings it deeper.
Yes.
And so I was interested in the kind of symbiosis that occurs when there's an ecology of the human with nature.
Yes. Yes. And okay, so this book it helped you to take the idea and to inspire you.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Now, how are you working on that, and where, which point you are now? Like, your project is ready, or still working in progress?
It's almost ready. So this project, it started from a backpack prototype. I wanted to incorporate biomimicry. Biomimicry is basically using or having nature as a mentor, model, and measure for all design and all innovation. And so I kind of incorporated biomimicry into this simple backpack design, which I hoped would be sustainable for third world, underserved communities in the third world. And I understood that elementary education is a vital demographic that could use something like this. And it worked. The prototype worked, and I had to research local materials that would be sustainable but also highlight the properties of biomimicry and sustainability, which I wanted to develop. And so in conducting that research, I was able to stumble upon a material here that's local, which has been underutilized. It's an immense material. And at some point after that backpack prototype, I realized, hey, there can be something really big here, something beautiful, in fact, that's worth attempting.
Yes. So, Ryal, when you think that you can back here and show up, like, I assume now you have not any, like, website or presentation place.
You know what?
It's still early, right?
It's still early, but the wonderful thing is, just as I'm hoping that it will be about community and sustainability and biomimicry and this kind of organic thing, community is happening. So in time, it will.
So you will be back here and and update us to how it's going and.
Absolutely.
And you know, any news and following up your project would be very interesting. Now we want to share another song with Ryal that you brought to us today, right?
Oh yeah. This is by a Newfie band, Hey Rosetta.
Hey Rosetta.
Oh yeah.
Rosetta sounds very Italian name, actually. It's not true, but anyways, there's an arch.
There's an arc.
Oh, sorry. There is an arc by Hey Rosetta.
Yes.
Don't you sleep like a child in a tree on a tire in 85. There's an arc that you feel. Thank you.
data, there is an arc on CITR Radio 101.9 FM from UBC Vancouver. So before to say bye-bye to our listeners, for sure I hope that you will come back to CITR Radio here with me at Wild Knots Talk Show to just give us more updates and news from this amazing project. But just repeat to us the name of the material. Cedar bark. Cedar bark. So this material is coming from tree.
That's
from
correct.
Cedar.
Yeah.
Is the cedar native, like from BC rainforest?
Yes, it's indigenous to British Columbia. It has this amazing natural water resistant property to it that is bar none in the world.
Vancouver Island?
Vancouver Island and the interior, BC itself.
Awesome. And also, to take out this material from the tree, it's necessary to that the tree has to be died already, like from a sick tree, or not necessary?
Oh, no, it can. There's a technique of stripping the bark so that it can be a healthy living tree that's stripped and continue to be healthy and living afterwards.
Wow. So I want to remember, this is cedar bark material that has taken from this kind of tree, cedar of northern rainforest BC, and then by this material this can be do the this kind of, it's like a cotton, right? Cotton.
There's a softer, more pliable material, and then there's one that's harder.
And Ryle today, he explained to us this inspiration and this amazing idea that Ryle wants to find a harmony from nature, from ecology, and from from ecology and community.
Yes.
So now, what else? Do you have any other thing to add for us, or you think that's it for today?
I think we're just on the cusp of really understanding what kind of interaction that we can have with nature through biomimicry. There has been a long tradition of biomimetic innovation, and then we stopped.
Yes.
We forgot.
This is such a love project from nature, and where you can, when we can find something useful, and in the same time to respecting the environment and the nature, in this case the tree, it's amazing, because that's like what nature offered to us, creation and resource. So now just want to say goodbye, Ryle, and thank you very much to be here today and to spend your time with us, to share your amazing project. Anybody that has any question about this project can email to me, as there is not yet any website. You can send any question to difeovalerio@hotmail.com, which is my email. And I also every Tuesday on live with the Wild Knot Show. You can also call during the show online, CITR, on CITR.ca. You can find the phone number to call online. Okay, so thank you again, and hopefully to see you in a few weeks here on our frequency, and stay tuned.
Oh, Thank you, Valeria. I'd love to come back.
Okay, thank you. Ciao.
Ciao.
Good afternoon. This is Valerio from CITR. And this was the interview with Ryle that I did yesterday, and it was so much to me. It means a lot because this kind of idea is a very, very innovative and so sustainable with between environment, ecosystem, and communities. So when there is something like that, I can't renounce to interview who is the creator of this invention. So Ryle, I'm sure Ryle is listening right now, and I hope you will. We will be back to Wild Not Show and talk about this more in the future and give us more detail about this kind of invention, cedar bark. Anyways, now, usually this is the space of Linda, give him the boot. Di solito questo è lo spazio di Linda, è lo spazio italiano, the Italian program of CITR 101.9 FM from Vancouver, UBC. And Linda, for now, it's not here with us because she's in Europe. I want to say ciao to Linda, and we miss you a lot, and we look forward that you will be back with Give 'Em the Boot in between 2 to 3 on Tuesday. But now, today, we have still 20 minutes. Abbiamo 20 minuti ancora di show, e in questi 20 minuti mi piacerebbe con voi condividere un po' di musica e anche un po' di notizie italiane ambientali, sempre di genere ambientale, di genere, diciamo così, legato alla natura e alla conservazione del verde. E proprio questa settimana leggevo su internet alcune notizie da Milano, la città da cui io arrivo, che ci sono tante novità in vista dell'Expo 2015 che avverrà tra l'anno prossimo, tra maggio e novembre, in 6 mesi, questo grande evento di espositivo universale che, se non sbaglio, coinvolge più di 150 paesi, coinvolgerà a Milano, e che verterà su il cibo e l'alimentazione, e soprattutto sulla nutrizione, che può essere sicuramente più distribuita equamente anche nel sud del mondo, e attraverso l'agricoltura più, diciamo così, sostenibile, più equa. E a proposito di questo, proprio in vista dell'Expo, ci sono tante novità nella città di Milano. Per esempio, mi viene in mente un grandissimo progetto chiamato Bosco Verticale. Questo è un progetto che sicuramente non è nuovo, perché sono sicuro, e vedo anche a Vancouver, che ci sono tanti spazi di giardini verticali su, in altre parole, piante che si arrampicano su, sulle strutture, diciamo così, condominiali o addirittura su torri. Ma a Milano da qualche mese sono state completate 2 torri in zona stazione Garibaldi, molto alte, che sono adibite a uso condominiale, quindi a uso domestico, e praticamente per ogni a ogni piano vi è una decina, forse anche di più, di vegetazione, di alberi veri e propri che riempiono i balconi di ogni appartamento. Praticamente alla fine ci sono più di 30 piani completamente ricoperti da alberi ed è una foresta, praticamente una foresta verticale. Questa è un'idea ed è anche un progetto dell'architetto famoso Stefano Boeri, che in futuro vorrei intervistare qui proprio su CITR Radio per telefono, e che sicuramente avrà, spero, un seguito anche in altri posti del mondo, perché è un'idea geniale che rispetta, diciamo così, l'ambiente e che ha una certa quantità di cemento impiegata, lascia che corrisponda anche una certa quantità di ettari in vegetazione. Quindi è una cosa molto molto sostenibile. Mi ricorda anche una canzone in particolare di Adriano Celentano, che in cui lui parlava dell'insostenibilità urbana, del paesaggio urbano che viene spesso distrutto e viene spesso annientato da cemento e costruzione, senza nessuna sensibilità, senza nessuna come dire, senza nessun ritegno. E quella canzone, che è molto, ormai molto datata, molto vecchia, adesso intanto iniziamo a sentire una canzone un po' più allegra di Adriano Celentano, che è Azzurro. Poi cerco anche quella lì.
Azzurro, il pomeriggio è troppo azzurro, è lungo per me. Mi accorgo di non avere più risorse senza di te. E allora io quasi quasi prendo il treno e vengo da te. Il treno dei desideri, dei miei pensieri all'incontrario va. Sembra quando ero all'oratorio con tanto sole tanti anni fa. Se all'incontrario va, cerco un po' d'Africa in giardino tra l'oleandro e il baobab, come facevo da bambino, ma qui c'è gente, non si può più. Stanno innaffiando le tue rose, non c'è il leone, chissà dov'è. Azzurro, il pomeriggio è troppo azzurro, è lungo per me. Mi accorgo di non avere più risorse senza di te. E allora io quasi quasi prendo il treno e vengo da te. Pensieri all'incontrario va, azzurro, il pomeriggio in troppo azzurro.
Questo era Adriano Celentano. This is Adriano Celentano on CITR Radio 101.9 FM from Vancouver, UBC. And Adriano Celentano is a very famous singer in Italy. He's very old, actually. This Italian singer is also a composer and comedian, actor, film director, and TV host. He's the best-selling male Italian singer, actually. Celentano was born in Milan, the city that I was talking about and where I come from, actually, at 14 Via Gluck. And right on this address, Via Gluck, he wanted to write sing about environmental problems in a city, like urban problems, like construction against forest, construction against green. This is a big problem in Milan, my city, where probably something is improving as sustainable business and construction, but still we have too much constructions and too much home and office and big towers and some less green space, park and garden. And so with this song, Il ragazzo della Via Gluck, this famous Italian singer, Adriano Celentano, he wanted to explain this problem. And it was very... I think it's a very impactful song that Adriano Celentano, with his typically system to sing to show us in Italiano, I want to say like manifestare il suo disappunto per questo problema. Adriano Celentano vuole con questa canzone dare un messaggio ai politici anche, e questa è una caratteristica di Adriano Celentano che poi lo segnerà per il resto della sua carriera, cioè quello di scrivere e di cantare canzoni socialmente utili e anche abbastanza, diciamo così, critiche nei confronti della politica italiana, della politica locale, in questo caso di Milano.
Questa è la storia di uno di noi, anche lui nato per caso in via Gluck, in una casa fuori città, gente tranquilla che lavorava, là dove c'era l'erba ora c'è una città, e quella casa in mezzo al verde ormai, dove sarà? Questo ragazzo della Via Gluck si divertiva a giocare con me, ma un giorno disse vado in città, e lo diceva mentre piangeva. Io gli domando, amico, non sei contento? Vai finalmente a stare in città, la troverai le cose che non hai avuto qui. Potrai lavarti in casa senza andare giù nel cortile. Mio caro amico, disse, qui sono nato, e in questa strada ora lascio il mio cuore. Ma come fai a non capire
è una fortuna per voi che restate a piedi nudi a giocare nei prati, mentre là in centro io respiro il cemento, ma verrà un giorno che ritornerò ancora qui. Sentirò l'amico treno che fischia così, wow wow. Passano gli anni ma 8 son lunghi, però quel ragazzo ne ha fatta di strada, ma non si scorda la sua prima casa, ora coi soldi lui può comperarla. Torna e non trova gli amici che aveva, solo case su case, la trame cemento, da dove c'era l'erba ora c'è una città. Così chissà come si farà, chissà, chissà come si farà.
Adriano Celentano, il ragazzo della Via Gluck. This is CITR Radio 101.9 FM from Vancouver, UBC, and Adriano Celentano is an amazing old singer from Italy. He's the best seller right now in Italy, one of the best seller of singers. And anyways, this song, I like to this song sometimes to listen to this song because, and share with you, dear listeners, because in this song, Adriano Celentano, he sings and he wrote like a big issue of a normal city in Europe, in this case Milano in Italy, where between 60 years and 90 years there has been a big development of construction and buildings, and you know, the city extended a lot, but not in the green, not in green space, not in park, not in gardens, just construction. And this is the song that wants give a message to politicians and businessmen that doesn't care about this kind of problem. Anyways, adesso parlo un po' italiano per la nostra comunità italiana di Vancouver, della CITR Radio, e mi piacerebbe anche fra qualche martedì invitare qui un percussionista italiano. Il suo nome è Davide, non so se in questo momento ci sta sentendo, ma ho già fatto l'invito, ho già posto a lui l'invito di venire qui da noi e di parlare un po' di sé, parlare un po' di, del suo background musicale, ma anche di farci ascoltare qualcosa live con alle percussioni o qualsiasi altra cosa che lui vorrebbe proporre. Ma non so quando ci farà questa sorpresa, ma sicuramente nei prossimi martedì, durante i miei show di ambiente, sull'ambiente, chiamato Wild Not, sicuramente ci saranno delle parentesi di cultura musicale italiana, perché non dimentichiamo che questo è lo spazio di Give Em The Boot, del programma italiano che Linda solitamente ogni martedì conduce dalle 2 alle 3. Per adesso Linda non è in Canada, io ne approfitto e colgo l'occasione per salutarla, per ringraziarla di questo spazio, e presto sono sicuro che tornerà ad arricchire questa radio di cultura e di musica, in particolar modo di musica italiana, che Linda ci porta da diverse regioni e diverse province del bel paese. E per oggi credo che siamo quasi alla conclusione del nostro spazio, del nostro talk show di Wild Not. E ci sono tante altre iniziative ambientali che vorrei così dare notizia dall'Italia. Per esempio, ce n'è una molto curiosa proprio a Milano: il WWF ha scelto di dare una ventata di estetica alla propria sede, che è in un bellissimo parco, e attraverso l'arte dei graffiti, ma non sono graffiti normali, sono graffiti che raffigurano il paesaggio wild, quindi animali, diverse specie di animali, di uccelli e di mammiferi, come per esempio la tigre, che è fortemente minacciata dall'estinzione, ma anche da altri tipi di figure e di immagini. Molto molto bello. E questa iniziativa, che è stata promossa da WWF anche attraverso Brera Art, che è un bellissimo evento annuale in zona Brera a Milano ogni terzo weekend di ottobre, ha presentato questa arte, che secondo me è arte allo stato puro, arte urbana, dei graffiti, dei murales, attraverso la sede del WWF di Milano. Ricordiamo, il WWF, per chi non lo sapesse, è un'organizzazione internazionale, una fondazione che diciamo così, si focalizza sulla protezione, la conservazione dell'ambiente e della biodiversità, quindi dell'ecosistema di ogni parte del mondo, attraverso soprattutto le riserve e le oasi, ma anche attraverso tante campagne e azioni che attraverso i siti web di ogni paese, tipo wwfitalia.it o .org, è possibile coinvolgersi e, come dire, aggiornarsi. Quindi complimenti al WWF per questa bellissima iniziativa, di cui ho avuto modo di vedere delle immagini attraverso il Corriere Milano. Quindi, se andate sul sito del Corriere Milano.it, potete vedere. Sono sicuro che ci sono altri come me che arrivano da Milano e che sono curiosi di avere un po' di notizie da questa città. E Corriere Milano è assolutamente un ottimo mezzo per informarsi e per aggiornarsi. Bene, lo spazio adesso è veramente finito. Adesso metto l'ultima canzone, voglio condividere l'ultima canzone con voi, proprio di Adriano Celentano, del cosiddetto molleggiato. E con questo ci sentiamo la prossima settimana, sempre su CITR Radio 101.9 FM, dalle 2 alle 3 con Wild Not. Stay tuned.
e sentirò l'amico treno che fischia così.
Passano gli anni, ma 8 son lunghi, però quel ragazzo ne ha fatta di strada, ma non si scorda la sua prima casa, ora coi soldi lui può comperarla, torna e non trova gli amici che aveva, solo case su case, catrame e cemento. E quella casa in mezzo al verde ormai, dove sarà? Yeah, yeah, yeah. E dai, yeah, yeah. E yeah, 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 yeah. E yeah, yeah, yeah. E non so, non so perché continuano a costruire le case. Così, chissà come si farà, chissà.